The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, what I'd like to consider and explore for this talk is some aspects of desire. As I've said before, I think that the more proper term for human beings would be human desirelings, because there's some desire is part and parcel and intimately connected to human life, and there's no life, human life, without desire. That we're supposed to get rid of desire, have no desires, is unrealistic. But to become wise about desire is one of the tasks of Buddhism, and to learn how to be free of desires, free from the desires, not that they're gone, but we're not caught in them, and we have freedom in relationship to them. And so in order to become wise about desire, it helps to become intimate with desire. And as I said a little while ago, that if you want wisdom, cultivate intimacy. And there's some aspect of intimacy, some way of being intimate that touches in and brings us to the place where wisdom has a chance to operate. And so if you want to be wise about desire, be intimate with desire. And to explore this topic, I want to talk about a subclass of mental movements in the family of desire, and start talking about the outermost, the most abstract in a sense, to that which gets closer and closer to something that's more and more intimate inside. And so perhaps this talk, it would be a little bit of a journey from outward to inward, to what's innermost. So maybe you'll follow along, and maybe you can imagine or feel what I'm talking about and how it works for you, giving me a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, or a little bit of the focusing on what I say that might be relevant for you, what you can identify with or recognize in yourself. Certainly some of the things I say, you might have aspects of it that you disagree with. But on this journey, it might be better for now to just kind of find, recognize in yourself, oh, yeah, I know that this way. So this journey in exploring desire has to do with three parts. It has to do with what we desire, why we desire, and how we desire. So what, why, and how. And so the aspect of this is to have a goal. Desires usually have a goal, something we want, something we want to accomplish, something we want to do. Having a goal is an important part of life. And people have all kinds of goals that they want to accomplish. But a goal, in my vocabulary, is a what. It's the purpose of the desire. It's the what we want to get, what we want to see happen. We use the word what to describe. What is the goal? You might ask them. And what is the purpose, or what's the goal? And so, for example, as I did this morning, you might go shopping for a relative, for food, and the goal was to go shopping. And what are you up to? I'm going shopping. I'm going to the store. And in fact, I was able to go to the store and buy what I needed to do, and so I accomplished the goal. And talking about it that way, it's somewhat removed from me. It's somewhat abstract. It's outside of me. Shopping is outside of me in a sense. The goal, buying something for my relative, is it's a worthy goal, but it's kind of, you don't really learn anything about myself except that I was going to do this task. And so we can also ask, why am I doing it? And the why has to do with a purpose. And when we start talking about purpose, we're talking about something that's maybe a little bit closer in, more intimate, more integral to who we are than just the goal. And so the purpose, maybe for going shopping, was my relative is sick and I was asked to get something to support her in her time of illness. And so the purpose was to support and offer aid to a relative who is ill. And so you would, if I just said purpose was to go buy X, Y, and Z, you wouldn't, that's the goal, you wouldn't really understand the purpose, but you understand the purpose, now we're understanding something about maybe what is motivating Gil and what's happening here. And then you could ask deeper, but why are you doing that? And you can keep asking the question why, and in a certain kind of way that goes through layers and layers inside. You can ask, well, why are you doing that? Oh, because I care for my relative. I love my relative. And so it's out of my care. That's why I'm doing it. And so now you know something a little deeper about me, or you're kind of going in closer and closer in. And so you could ask, what's the purpose? And it's really useful not to answer it with just one answer. If you have a desire to ask, what is the purpose of why I want to say what I'm going to say? Why I want to say what I want to say? Or what's the purpose of this activity I'm doing? What's the purpose of this way of thinking? How often do you ask yourself, why am I thinking this way? What purpose does it fulfill? And then, even if you get an answer, one answer, ask again. Ask again, because there might be multiple reasons, multiple motivations inside, purposes we're trying to accomplish. And then, or you might ask more of a secondary one. You might have one answer. Why are you shopping? Because I'm shopping in order to support a relative. But why do you want to support a relative? Because I care for the relative. The relative is sick. And why do you care for a relative? And why do you want to support a relative? Because it's the kind of heartfelt wish. Of course I would do that. And so you keep asking, and you can get kind of deeper and deeper questions. It takes you on a journey, can take your journey to be something more intimate and deeper. And just have the logical answer as being the only answer, the first answer, only one, it might miss something of the bigger picture or the intimate picture or something of what's going on. So there's the purpose, and then deeper than the purpose, there is the how are we? How are we when we're doing something? And the question how implies, I think, always brings us into the, at least in my vocabulary, in this question, always brings us into the activity itself. Kind of like into the present moment. The action, how we're doing it, is how we embody it, how we go forth with it. And whereas purpose is a little bit, abstract, a little bit removed from, can be a little bit removed from something that's inner. But when you talked about how, it kind of really comes closer. And so how am I doing it? Am I doing it in a hurry? Am I doing it slowly? Am I doing it with resentment? Am I doing it with delight and joy, with generosity? How are we doing it? And are you doing it in, trying to do the minimum you can? Or are you trying to do more than you can? So there's all these questions about how, and so how do I go to the store in the morning to go shopping? So part of it is with care, part of it with certain delight. It was early in the morning, and it was kind of quiet and calm time to be going. And it was also, I was going with the feeling of, certain kind of good feeling about knowing that I could do something for my relative and was happy to do so. So, and then being in the store, and there were a few other shoppers there. There was the clerk there. It was early enough. There was just one, and how I was there. I was hot being there with you know, trying to have a human connection with the person at the counter, in spite of the masks that we were wearing, and so how was, you know, trying to be friendly, trying to have goodwill, trying to be connected to the whole situation that I was in. And so how goes deeper and deeper, you know. So really, how were you this way? How were you that way? And now we come, what's deeper in maybe than the question, you know, related to how, is the attitudes that we have. So, you know, I could have done something, how, I could have done fast or slow, but then how I did it, what attitude went with going it fast. Maybe it was the attitude of being fast was that I was impatient. Maybe the attitude of was I was overly eager, I really wanted to do something, so I'm really rushing because of my strong desire, maybe even greed. Or maybe I'm slow because I just really enjoy it. I like being present and being in the experience fully. Or maybe I'm slow because I resent doing it. And I hesitate and I'm not really putting myself into it. I'm dragging my feet. So there's attitudes that now attitudes were coming in more intimate, more closer down, deeper down. What are the attitudes we carry? What is the mood of the mind? What's the attitude that the heart has, the mind has? And are those attitudes of the moment, or are they part of our character, part of how we've cultivated and how we live, the patterns of mind and thought and beliefs and emotions that characterize how we've chosen to live our life? And different from personality, which maybe we don't have much choice about that, but character, we have some choice, and it's been shaped by either by society and events and experiences of our life, but also it's been shaped by all that small and big choices we've made about what kind of thoughts to emphasize, what kind of desires to emphasize, what kind of ill will to emphasize, what the habits are that we're building up of behavior and ways of being. And these all contribute to ongoing attitudes that we carry with us. And so now we're talking about something that can be really deep. And these attitudes sometimes can be subliminal or not obvious to us all the time. They can start becoming invisible to us because we carry them with them all the time. But to sit in meditation and get quiet and start seeing, when I get quiet and intimate with myself, what in some deeper way are the underlying deeper attitudes that are operating for me? And how might those attitudes relate to the desires I have and how I pursue those desires? And the deeper we go in Buddhism, and you might not agree with this, but in Buddhism it's considered to be three fundamental, unhelpful, unwholesome roots for our attitudes, and three wholesome ones. And all wholesome, beneficial impulses come out of these three roots, the wholesome roots. And all the things which are unhelpful, harmful, that we do for others, or things that are unhealthy, derived from these three unwholesome roots. The unwholesome roots is usually translated in English as either craving or greed. Occasionally, it's another word in Pali that maybe is closer to lust. But the strong desire, you know, that somehow there's a contraction, there's a loss of freedom in the movement. It's kind of unwholesome. There's some kind of maybe selfishness involved, connected to it. Maybe there's an overriding of wisdom that goes into it with greed. And so the other unwholesome root is ill will. And often in English we say the word aversion for this, but it could also be more dramatic. It could be hostility. So it's very mild, or it can be very strong. But there can be an underlying movement, attitude, mood of aversion, of hostility, of pushing away, not wanting, that if that's the seed, the root for behavior, it tends to be behavior which expresses that ill will in forms of hostility and causes all kinds of difficulty. And that can be towards oneself or towards others. And the third unwholesome attitude is root attitude is delusion, confusion, where we're just confused in a sea of not knowing and doubt and uncertainty and not making sense of things and jumping around in different ideas and not settling on anything. And when there's confusion and delusion, then it's easier for greed. We're not connected to wisdom. There's no wisdom in that, no clarity. And so that tends to then support more greed and more ill will. The healthy attitudes and are generosity, goodwill, and wisdom. And so generosity is this feeling that openness and availability and open-handedness, open-heartedness, that's a spirit of kind of being both open to the world around us, but also, I want to use the word manifest, manifesting, actualizing for them something for the world. It's a movement which is connected to wisdom and makes room for wisdom. A closed hand is not open to experience something in the palm of the hand. But if we open the hand, then we can experience something in the palm. It can be stroked by someone, for example. We can clean the palm. We can't clean it if it's closed. So same thing with the heart or the mind. With greed, something closes down. With generosity, something opens. And it's available for wisdom. It's available to be cleaned. And then goodwill, instead of ill will, is also this opening movement, something that liberates us. It frees something inside. It frees us from the contraction, the closeness of what goes on for us. So I got distracted because I saw this someone write, no bell. I guess I didn't ring the bell to end the sitting, did I? So maybe no bell. No end. And goodwill, and then wisdom. And wisdom also itself is an opening movement, because one of the primary forms of wisdom is not the wisdom of not clinging, the wisdom of not suffering, the wisdom of non-harming. So think of these as attitudes then. Do we go about with an attitude of generosity, an attitude of goodwill, an attitude of wisdom, an attitude of discernment, of seeing clearly? Or do we have an attitude that somehow closes wisdom, limits wisdom? And so is it greed? Is it ill will? Is it delusion? Or is it fear that somehow is connected to those three? It's fascinating that fear that's unhealthy is considered, because it has to be rooted in either greed, ill will, or delusion. So how does that work? And is there a different kind of fear that's rooted in generosity and goodwill or love and wisdom? I think there is. That's why fear doesn't fit in either, it's not placed in just one or the other. It's just the unwholesome or just the wholesome, but it depends on the roots that support the fear. So attitude. So attitude is more intimate than the goal. Attitude brings us into something close in to what's innermost and what makes us tick and what influences us and influences how we see the world and how we see ourselves. And to sit in meditation or other ways of beginning to find the underlying attitudes, dispositions in which we operate in, and to learn how to not be caught by them, not be limited by them, not be closed by the unhealthy ones, beginning to open and open and open. And my sense is that the unwholesome roots of greed, hate, and delusion, they themselves are not what's most innermost. They themselves are a little bit more surfacey. And as those fall away, and as we keep opening, generosity, love, goodwill, and wisdom, they belong to that which is most innermost, most sensitive, maybe most shy at times, most tender, maybe most quiet. And so it's only by getting quiet or settled or intimate and willing to have a certain tenderness that these generosity and goodwill and wisdom really can shine and be part of our life. So certainly we can have goals, we can have purposes, we can focus on how we are, but don't be too caught up in the goal. Don't be too caught up in the purposes. Pay attention to how you do things. It's a huge key and important part of mindfulness practice. And as you pay attention to the how, at some point come in and really begin discerning what are the underlying, the deeper attitudes which are fueling or influencing how we're going about our life. And there, in those attitudes, is where you can start discovering freedom. It's when the attitudes become free, then the desires that flow from them are free as well, and we become free. So that when we have desires of generosity, of goodwill, and wisdom, then hopefully then we have a sense of how to remain free with those. For in our attitudes to contain freedom, so our desires can be free, so that our purposes can have qualities of freedom, and the goals can be intimately involved with freedom as well. So I hope that this has given you something to think about and explore in yourself, and some questions to ask yourself as you go about. Questions about why, what, of why, and how. And take the how question and go as deep in as you can. See if you can find the underlying deeper attitudes, dispositions that animate your life. And see if you can switch to be more and more, have those attitudes be the wholesome roots. May that journey of exploration be empowering and freeing for you. Thank you.